When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This Week of This Life is brought to you by Alliant University School of Psychology and Hydralyte. Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Flores
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get Grandma out of the spare room and gather around the iPhone for another episode of This Life with Dr. Drew and me, Bob Forrest.
And this week, we're joined by Theo Von. Theo, he's an artiste. We got to sort of let this stuff sort of unfold on its own.
You got to be excited to be on a podcast.
No, he seems fired up. He seems kind of like an Irish kind of younger Cher a little bit.
Cher?
Yeah.
So this past weekend.
I like that.
Thanks, Bob.
So your podcast.
Yeah.
This past weekend.
Yeah, this past weekend.
Tell him about it. There's a weird popping on his microphone. Can he pull it away from his face or something?
Yep.
There you go. Way better.
Yeah, this past weekend I just share like things that are going on in my life, stories from growing up, and then offer basic life suggestions to struggling males, black males, white males, others. Viets, anybody that's having issues.
Transgender males.
Yeah, transgenders. Yeah. I don't think we've had any calls yet, but I haven't checked this week.
Anything identifies as a male.
Yep, anything that identifies as a male, you know? So, yeah, anything that identifies as a male. Even if just going through the afternoon, there's a lady who's just, you know, walking by a Dick's Sporting Goods, and she wants to call in. She's welcome.
And your partner, is that a different podcast?
Yeah, this is a different podcast. Yeah. This past weekend is just my own personal podcast.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Did you start it recently? Or?
Yeah, just started.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. It's been a hoot.
Are you still doing the other one?
Yeah, we still have Allegedly with Matthew Cole Weiss. That's the one that you came on.
Yeah, he does it over at the Comedy Store. So you got to show up at the Comedy Store
really?
In the basement somewhere.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, they used to do abortions down there, Bob.
Oh, really? So Mitzi was doing them?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Now you just have Allegedly down there.
Yeah, now it's just a bad podcast down there.
Yeah. Is there still a drug program at the Comedy Store?
Yeah, they still have an AA meeting, I think at noon or 1 maybe.
Wow. And then they had a house when there was so many, in the 80s, when there was so much drugs and comedians and problems and John Belushi. Mitzi got a house where they could all kind of live to be away from the bad influences, right up from the comedy store.
Speaking of comedy comedians and Mitzi and John Belushi, do you know I had a fight with Yamaguchi, the coroner that did Belushi's autopsy, that insisted he was not an addict?
Really?
I couldn't believe it. That's how naive physicians are.
I saw him drink. He was definitely an alcoholic.
Yeah. I mean, he was just like, oh, he's just playing around with drugs, and he just took a hot shot, got the wrong thing. You know,
it's like, what is a hot shot? I've always wanted to get one.
Overdose. Like,
too much.
Just too much.
Too much.
Yeah. You only get one.
Yeah, you only get one, I guess.
Well, now with Narcan, you can just...
No, there was an idea that somehow drug dealers were trying to kill people.
Hold on, Theo's interested in this.
What?
What do you mean?
You can overdose and come right back?
Yeah, with I was thinking today I'm going to start carrying Narcan around in my pocket.
Yeah.
You can get
I have
the
one in my
now.
Car.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because
I could just...
I'm going to sell it on the porch at the comedy store. I'm going to sell it on the porch at the comedy store.
No, but the problem is, as the addict themselves overdosing, you can't shoot yourself up with the thing that's going to keep you from dying. So somebody else needs to be there.
So you need an assistant. You need a personal assistant.
Well, in the old days, we used to all use together.
See, you need a fluffer kind of for death.
Well, you used to use with other people, and now kids don't. They use by themselves to drown their sorrows or whatever. It's not a celebration party.
That's what I did, man, when I was partying. I'd be in the house.
By yourself?
Doing cocaine alone.
Wow,
brother.
You're part of the new movement.
Oh, is that how they do it
now?
Yeah.
Well, cocaine's always been eventually a loner.
Oh, yeah.
You start with people, but you pull in and then go by yourself.
Well, there are certain routes of administration with cocaine that are definitely solamento.
Boofing, have you seen that?
If you're shooting or smoking it, you're usually alone.
Well, they got boofing now. It's this thing called boofing where kids are, and I say kids, but not like 7 and 8 year olds.
Millennials.
I mean, yeah. You know, people that are able enough to buy cocaine, so probably at least 16, and they like put it into a straw and then blow it into the person's buttocks. Have you seen this?
Yes. I've heard of that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's been going on for many years.
Oh, has it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's another thing that social media does with millennials. Anything they do, it seems like they invented, and there's very few things in relation to drugs or sex that I haven't known about.
That old drug addict doesn't know.
It's true, though. And like, oh, we used to do that in the 80s. You didn't talk about it. You didn't put it on your Facebook page.
You know, you can't teach an old Bob new track marks.
Oh, that's true. Know? How old are you?
I'm 37, man.
Oh,
adult
you look
male.
So young.
Well, thank you,
yeah,
huh?
I was thinking you were 28, 29.
So tell me the story. You came from the South.
Yeah, I came from the South. I grew up in just a small town in Louisiana.
Like in the True Detective movie?
No, a little bit more employment than the True Detective. So just a few more jobs, you know. But I grew up in turpentine country. It was like turpentine was like the big business. And
refinery or something?
Just that we had it and we were selling it.
Turpentine?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to make it.
Dude, back when tine was king, you try to get paint off something, dude.
Tine was king.
You can sit there all day, bro.
What's replaced tine? Has China invented a new tine?
The paint's different. The paint's different.
Yeah. I think Latinos are just faster than the actual turpentine.
Also, you can't use oil in the paints anymore because of the environmental stuff.
Yeah, too many rules and regulations.
So
dude.
The whole turpentine industry just bottom fell out?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And so that way, we were
so
actually.
So you turned to comedy?
Well, this was prior to my birth. This is just the environment.
Oh, okay.
And we were one of the only, when they had a huge, what's it called when people have to hide because there's a disease? There's a disease and people have
quarantine?
To,
outbreak.
When they had quarantine. A quarantine, when they had a big yellow fever epidemic.
In the
really? South. In the South.
That's crazy.
The only two towns that were quarantined were Atlanta and the town that I'm from.
Oh, wow.
So then it became like a hotbed for like people trying to stay healthy, you know?
Wow.
So
weird.
There were like fights of people like with yellow fever trying to get in town and people killing them on the outskirts of town.
This is what? 1890s or something?
Yeah, I mean, this was before I was born, but I'm just setting the groundwork for you.
Where are you
brother.
From?
Yeah. So then, yeah, I grew up there. I mean,
a lot of water?
Yeah, a lot of water, mosquitoes, you know, stray animal belt, a lot of strays, you know, a lot of animals passing through.
Did you eat them?
I've eaten some things. I never ate dove before. You ever had dove?
No.
No.
Yeah, I don't eat dove.
everything else, fine.
I've had other stuff.
Raccoon?
I've had, I hate to do say it, I've had guinea pig, though. And
guinea
I've
pig.
Had pony. I've had pony.
Pony?
Yeah.
Why not just a horse? Why kill the pony?
Look, dude, you want to argue with the chef or you want to eat?
Alligator?
Oh, yeah, alligator. Yeah. That's easy. Yeah. You know, but I never had dove. A couple of brothers were always cooking up doves by me. And,
do you have any brothers? Did you have brothers yourself? Any siblings?
No, just black guys, local blacks.
I understand, but do you have siblings?
Yeah. I had an older brother, and I have two younger sisters. So my father was 70 when I was born. My dad was an old man. He was born in 1910. So that's how I knew about the turpentine.
Your dad was 70 when you were born?
Yeah. My dad was born in 1910.
See, this stuff's another thing. It's been going on for decades.
Old men
having
kids.
Old
men
having kids, yeah.
Yeah, but old men with money. Like, my father didn't have any money.
Well,
like,
imagine that. I still qualify in that category.
Bob's still looking forward to something.
Yeah, I'm not turpentine dealer poor, but I'm somewhere down there.
Dude, tine was king for a while, bro.
Really?
Yeah, you show up with a couple gallons of tine to a party. It's all.
Would you huff it?
Oh, I don't know what they were. I'm sure they were huffing.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd huff anything, you know?
So your dad's old. Your
dad's old.
You have an older, younger sisters?
Yeah, two younger sisters.
So you had two more kids.
After 70.
Yeah.
Wow. You sure he wasn't from Hollywood?
Dude, I wish he would have been.
And so
my mother, like, who makes
that's
love
like
to
Tony
a poor
Randall
old
level.
Man?
How old was your mom?
My mother was 32 when I was born.
And so, oh, she was fertile late.
38-year difference.
Woo. And so, how was that family system?
That's
how was
Louisiana,
that
Drew.
I'm just listening.
I don't even know. The family system was not good. I mean, it was.
Is there native blood in you? Obviously.
Yeah, I'm a little bit Cherokee,
I think.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, and I'm Polish Nicaraguan.
Whoa.
Of course he is.
So
just thinking that
you did the DNA test or yet?
No, my father's from Nicaragua. My mother.
Well,
was
you don't know.
Polish.
You got to do the ancestry DNA.
Oh yeah, I'll spit in that thing. I'm gonna get it.
You got to get it. Yeah. I'm waiting and waiting. You know they're so backed up. It's months behind. Yeah. I'm sure it's I'm gonna find out on something else.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
you'll find that out. But I just did. The genetic testing for diseases too. You can get that for the same price.
But did you do it here at home? I feel like you could just do it in your garage. Did you do it to yourself?
I didn't do it to myself. I had to send it out. Something called color.com I use, and they, you know, it turns out I have a genetic mutation. I have to have more rigorous screening for colon cancer now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. And my kids are going to have to start too. It's a big deal now the way we can test this stuff.
And was that the same way you could test the ancestry stuff? The same exact way?
Same spit in the cup, but different organization.
What?
And they do it.
So
for
what if it turns out that you're not Nicaraguan? What would you? What would that feeling be?
Because
Nicaragua is a very rich culture, and it's very Daniel Ortega.
Yeah,
you know, it's something to be proud of being from Nicaragua.
Yeah,
right. What if it turns out you're from like Paraguay?
I mean, I'd probably be a little bit less of a boxing fan, maybe, and that'd probably be it. You know,
really?
Yeah, I don't think I would really care that much.
Drew, were you around for the Nicaraguan protests in the 80s?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, where were you?
He was an activist. He was.
No, I was not an activist, but I was a sympathizer. But I couldn't make sense of all that.
Let's just analyze the 70s, Drew. Really. You want to analyze Drew for a second?
Oh, dude.
He wanders into a radio station, just starts hanging out when he's like 24 years old.
That's true. I've heard about it.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, he told me this story.
That's a seeker. That's a man who's seeking something.
What am I seeking?
That's also a rebel. That's an outsider.
It's a loiterer, first of all. It's illegal.
But what's interesting is you're onto something there, because what I was seeking was sort of a social group that was on the outside. I liked being around that. It was fun. It was interesting. It was so
different. Like at SC? At SC?
The medical school?
Yeah.
It's like I was wearing a white coat and a tie all day. Are you kidding?
But wasn't there cool guys, cool kids, free thinkers down there?
No.
It was your opportunity to step out was getting into that radio environment.
It just gave me an outlet. It was like, oh, these are interesting people. This is fun. I can help people. It was sort of a me ideal.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was all not me people. You know what I mean?
How
people
long
that are
until
not me. It was there. And I wouldn't want to hang out with myself. You know what I mean?
So, how long until your peers started knowing you were doing that?
A couple years.
And they were jealous at first, right?
Well,
you tell
pissed,
me that? They were pissed.
Yeah, pissed. And I took some real, real heavy hits.
They thought you were fancy, I bet.
Fancy?
I mean, they
That's
thought you were.
Term.
Well, they, thinking that was, you're better I was than you're all that.
I was stepping out.
It really, peacocking, they called it.
Medical training is extremely militaristic.
Yeah.
And the system is military style. Everything is military. Nursing and doctors, same. And when a private steps out and starts talking publicly, it's like, hey, the general is supposed to do that.
Right.
And no one was doing it. And that was why I was doing it, because I thought it was important. Mm. And I wasn't doing it representing anybody. I wasn't even using my real name. You know, I didn't use my last name. I didn't want anybody to know I was doing it. I just thought it was important. And it was fun and different. And I was seeking, Bob. I guess
you
I was
were.
Seeking.
He was seeking.
That's why we've always bonded. Yeah. I went over there. I was seeking cocaine from the poor man. A little bit of coke.
Wow.
You know, that was a good spot to go. That's why a lot of people liked going on the show.
Oh, because he would give them?
Well, yeah. Well, there was drugs around.
Around.
I think you might have turned a blind eye.
I didn't know. No, not a blind eye. I just didn't understand. I had no idea.
Well, we were drinking right in the studio the night Fletcher went off. You saw him drinking vodka.
Yeah, but I didn't think about it. By the way, I was not.
Do you know about that?
Uh-uh.
Fletcher took him hostage from Pennywise.
Really?
Well, that's a different time. Yes, he did. And then he claimed to have a live grenade in his pocket.
Ooh.
Corolla should have talked about that. Theo goes on Corolla's show all the time, too. Okay. Ask him about the time. Ask him about Poo Poo City.
Really?
Well, was Corolla there with the hand grenade?
Yeah, yeah.
I would think he would beat his ass.
It was much more complicated. But the
What's complicated? You're from New Orleans. What's complicated about two guys fighting and one beating the other one's ass? Is there something complicated about that?
I don't think so.
I will tell you.
I made love to a woman that had a grenade in the trunk of her car one time in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, actually.
Oh, that's a
true story. Around.
But here's the deal. He did eventually.
Nice girl, too. Redheaded.
At the very end.
I think it was red. Sorry. Go on.
After a couple hours of this, we did face him down. Both of us. We faced him down, and he backed off. But he'd beaten the crap out of his 300-pound security guard at that point.
Mm.
Like, really. Oh, I don't want to get into it. Anyway, what Bob was actually talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what Bob was talking about.
The chaos of love lines was kind of a party.
And yeah. Bob, what he's actually talking about was something that happened 10 years prior, was where he came in and ate pizza and drank tequila and then vomited all over everybody and then chased me around. He's about 6'4", standing over me, sticking his fingers down his throat, vomiting
to
on top
throw
of me.
On it, throw up on him.
It's good times.
It was good times.
Were you scared?
Yeah. It got a little weird. Because
he's a scary guy sometimes. Well, he can be.
And he backed
you like
me.
That band Pennywise?
I don't listen
You're
to a lot of
rocker?
Music.
You're a punk rocker? What do you like?
I like... Creedence Clearwater Band.
Oh, I do too.
And I like Allman Brothers.
Well, you know, John, what's the Creedence guy? John.
John.
Fogerty. We saw him at Howard Stern's birthday party, his 60th birthday party. And I thought, John Fogerty, why are they bringing him out? He blew the lid off the place. He was by far, in my humble opinion.
Because he does the Creedence songs now. He didn't.
He wrote everything.
I know, but he owned them when he left.
He didn't?
He didn't own them, so he didn't play them for decades and decades.
Oh.
And then the guy who owned them died or something, and some settlement came out, and now he plays them.
Oh, my God. It was so exciting.
Can you imagine
exciting.
Writing songs and not being able to perform them?
I don't know if I can or not.
It's a crazy thing that happened to him.
I just can't think of that well about stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, just like putting myself in a scenario.
Hey, real quick, you want to mention your new record?
Oh, I got a record coming out, or the vinyl only. Ooh. It's called Bob and Friends. What's it called, Nate? Bob and Friends 2016?
Live 2016.
Live 2016. See, I don't even know. I just saw it for the first time today.
That's awesome, man. You like playing music, huh?
Yeah, as a hobby.
Yeah.
He was a big rock star in the 80s.
Yeah.
You got to watch Bob and the Monster. You'll learn all about him.
It was a far-off land.
Yeah.
But so
I like your attitude, man. You seem like a nice guy.
It's fun. But what kind of music? Because when I hear somebody from Louisiana, I hear Cajun music and Irma Thomas and Professor Longhair. Was that not what's going on where you
live? I like Christmas carols, really, honestly.
You don't like New Orleans music?
I mean, I like some jazz, but my favorite music is Christmas carols.
Which one?
Huh?
Rudolph?
Rocking around and a silver bell.
You love Christmas.
I love Christmas.
Do you have Christmas tree at your house all year long?
No, but I'll play Auld Lang Syne sometimes, you know.
Was there Christmas at home with your 70-year-old dad, or did that not happen?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, my parents didn't get along. I don't know if they got along or what, but my dad kind of lived on the sofa, so he was always out there. Like, so on Christmas, if we snuck out to see the gifts, you know, early, my dad would be out there resting,
you know. Was he just drinking and fall asleep on the couch? Or?
He would drink sometimes, a couple of beers, you know.
Not big.
I don't think it was big, but I don't remember, though. That's the worst part.
And so how young is your youngest sister? How many more years did he go beyond
4 70? Years younger than me.
So 74 he was rolling.
Yeah, and I have
another
sister.
How long did he live till? Is he still alive?
He lived till 86. No, he'd be 106. He'd be 107.
So he made it to your high school graduation, or almost.
Almost.
Oof. Was that hard?
You know, the weird thing is that there were points where I started to reject him a little bit as I got older because I was, like, embarrassed, I guess.
Because he's too old.
Because he was so old, yeah. I mean, I remember one of the last times I saw him, I introduced him as my grandfather to someone, but I did it, like, with a sleight of tongue so that he wouldn't hear, you know, but that my friends would be able to hear, so it would just make sense to them, you know. So, I mean, I have some, you know, I feel bad about that sometimes, you know, just personally. But, I don't know. It was just weird, man. It was really weird. Like, I remember one of my first memories was, like, walking to church with my father. And, like, I remember having to, like, watch where he walked so that he would be okay.
He wouldn't fall.
Yeah. Oof. And it was weird because, like, I was the kid, you know. So normally that would be probably, like, an opposite.
So you're 10 and he's 80.
It's what I've always said.
Yeah, I was, like, 6 and he was, like, 86.
I've said forever. 76. I've said forever 76. That it's just so unfair to kids when men have kids that age.
Come on, Drew.
What? Yeah.
I have a newborn. I'm 56.
Do you really?
Yeah.
No, you're not 70.
Wow, dude.
No, I'm not 70.
All right, let's take a little break. Be right back. Now, one of the most amazing parts of working in treatment is seeing a number of former patients successfully move on and choose to become mental health professionals themselves. Yes, I've seen it. And the field of psychology is vast, and the need for competent practitioners has not been greater and never been greater. If you're considering this rewarding career, I suggest you look at the California School of Professional Psychology at Alliant University. I've been familiar with Alliant for some time now. I've spoken at their events. It was founded in 1969, boasts an alumni network of nearly 50,000 people worldwide. Alliant has fostered many of today's mental health pioneers, authors, and advocates. CSPP at Alliant University hosts both on-ground and online programs in business psychology, marriage and family therapy, clinical counseling. They also offer an APA-accredited doctoral program in clinical psychology that allows for specialization in child psychology, clinical forensic psychology, and integrated psychology. Faculty is industry leaders. Former faculty includes names like Abraham Maslow, Carl Rogers, Viktor Frankl. Come on now. Those are names everyone's heard, some of the fathers of modern psychology. For more information on the California School of Professional Psychology at Alliant, check the Alliant banner on my site or visit Alliant, Alliant.edu. That is Alliant.edu. So So here we're back.
Drew and a teen mom got into an argument.
Thanks to you. Thanks to you.
I didn't do anything.
Well, you asked the questions.
Yeah, I look, man.
What'd you ask?
I think we just asked, did you really want to choke Farrah out?
No. No.
That's not what we asked?
You go, this was on allegedly,
yes.
Right? And
yes.
You go, who do you hate?
Right.
And I go, I don't hate anybody. And he go, who drives you crazy?
Right.
And I go, well, Farrah kind of drives me crazy a little bit. And I went on to explain that it was because some of her choices really didn't serve her well.
Of course.
And it was
not.
Very frustrating. And,
agreed.
And I wish her nothing but the best.
But she has a mother that lives with her. I'm you know,
you
since my
mom?
Gal just had a baby, Teen Mom is on 24 hours a day.
Oh my God.
You were going down a rabbit hole, brother.
Dude, it's on all the time. The other day, I was leaving the room, and I just turned it. She was on the phone. I just turned on Teen Mom, too, because I knew. I just want to be a nice, good partner. Like, I know what you want to watch.
I speaking of Christmas,
a good partner.
I have a Christmas present for your wife.
What is that?
Yeah, and you're gonna be the best. You're gonna be a new idol.
It's a vasectomy, hopefully for Bob.
We have a reunion coming up in a few weeks.
Oh, we can go tape.
The reunion.
Look at him. Jesus,
I'm gonna give that as a present. Yeah. Anyways, and this happens. This happens all over the place. But I don't think.
Yeah, for Mother's Day. Drew, give it to her for Mother's Day.
Okay,
perfect.
Yeah. I know Drew doesn't dislike the women. He does not like the boys, and he won't admit it.
Oh, that's true.
You really don't like some of them.
What, the teen mom husbands?
I would say,
because they're boys. That's why.
Hang on. You're right that I have a bias. That's true. I for whatever reason.
There's one dad that's a real scumbag. The one that hasn't seen his kid in 2 years.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah.
Bigger guy?
You watch
Gary.
Teen Mom?
No, it's not Gary. Gary is not a scumbag. And Gary is actually doing really.
See, everybody watches Teen Mom.
Okay, but
I used to love watching Gary walk him downstairs. They had a special video online of him walking him downstairs, and it was cool. I liked him.
Gary actually is a cool guy.
He seemed like a nice kid. His wife was nuts.
The ex-wife.
Yes, the ex-wife.
Well, she actually
had addiction issues.
She went to prison.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I admire what she did.
Look at three guys sitting around talking about Teen Mom.
Hold on, slow up. Slow your roll.
Dude, lock these bitches up, dude. That's what I'm saying.
I admire what Amber did. She was getting strung out. She was starting to suck on fentanyl patches.
Mm.
And she went into the bathroom, sucked down three patches.
And went to the judge.
And went to the judge and said, I'm going to die if you don't put me in prison. Please put me in prison.
Wow.
And she did a five-year treatment program where she ended up becoming a peer counselor.
That's
so
amazing.
I admire that. And Indiana had the Pence's territory. They do great stuff with drugs.
They have to. Or they won't have a population
left.
That's
true. That's true.
Prison. Ohio, too.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But so, anyway, so let me just finish. What did I say? Oh, yeah. So
the boys, some of them you really don't like. I know the look on your face.
Yeah, but
sometimes.
Like is not the right word. Like is not the right word. Because I don't dislike any of them. I've run out of patience with a couple.
Run
of them.
Out of patience.
I like what's her name?
Do you usually like people that you run
this.
Out of patience?
Well, Farrah, Alexis, what are their names? Caitlin.
No. The
Gary's wife.
Bentley's mom. Macy.
Drew is the only guy in the room that doesn't watch the show.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I watch it when I have to. I watch all of it in a run. But Bentley's dad, help me with Bentley.
Oh my God, he just.
Oh, Travis or something.
Anyway,
something horrible.
Anyway, I feel sorry for him. That kid is something's not
the
right.
The little boy, the little
no,
boy.
No, the dad,
the daddy,
the dad, who's also been a little bit of a deadbeat. He is struggling, and I feel bad for him. And he had real potential, and I asked a lot of him, and I was harsh on him at the beginning. Didn't work, I'm worried about Ryan. Adam, Chelsea's boyfriend, mm-hmm. is the one I've been consistently harsh on because he is engaging in sociopathic behaviors.
Mm. No, but what's
and
the
then,
one?
And then blaming everybody and everything and endangering people. And I don't have a lot of patience with people that endanger other people.
Yeah,
well,
scary.
What about the dad? There's the little boy that just hasn't even, or little girl, I think, who hasn't even asked about the dad anymore. And it was on the last episode or episode before last.
I don't know.
We didn't see it.
It's so sad.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Well, here's the thing, man. I wouldn't get a girl pregnant if she was a teenager,
that's
bro, because I'm an adult.
That's
you know?
Probably Chelsea.
I don't do all of that.
You don't do that no more?
Nah, I don't make love to children, bro.
Well, where'd you get interested in the man school stuff?
in like the man school stuff? Like what
is
do you
that
mean?
A part of man school? You don't have sex with children?
Oh
no, you said you do stuff for the male on your on
yeah.
The,
I just
this
think
last
like
weekend.
Men are struggling, man. It's a tough time to be a man. I feel like it's like I almost feel like they want to kill men off, and they just want hardy lesbians. And that are, that will wear suits that are, like used to smell like men.
Do you feel
it's that? That's a little extreme, the view.
Extreme, but go hang out in some of these neighborhoods. Go to a local cafe, dude. Not here in Pasadena. It's a little more realistic here.
But do you, does it make you personally feel bad for men? You personally feel affected by this and feel sorry for men?
I feel a little bit, yes. I feel a little bit cornered as to how to be a man. Like, can you be a man? Like, and I don't know. And the tough part is I can't figure out my feelings super well yet. I'm still working
Why?
On some of that. Just because I never have. So now I'm working through some of that.
Are you in treatment?
Yeah, in treatment. So I'm in recovery anyway. And yeah, so I'm learning some of those
Congratulations.
Things.
Congratulations. Like, I got to tell you, when I was in treatment, that was my big task, was to try to connect to and identify feelings more effectively and be with them. It was really hard if you're not used to it.
It's crazy. It's almost like you're standing at a wall and you can see the wall, but you don't know, and you're just waiting for a word to come around that kind of moves a brick a little.
Yes, and I equated it with, I'd go, look, it's like asking a deer that just got born to just walk.
Yeah.
It's like my legs, doesn't happen. Maybe it will, but it's just not happening.
So yeah, it's baffling.
Do you feel that you have to defend men to women?
Alexithymia. Yeah.
Oh, it's a black girl I used to know, actually. It's the same name.
Really?
Yeah. True story.
Alexithymia, get in here!
Yeah. Dude, one of the best, because I grew up in a black neighborhood, you know, one of the best black names I ever heard, this lady had named her son No Dante. She goes, because I knew he was going to be bad, so I put No at the front of his name. No Dante. That's genius, bro.
We got to make her president.
Really,
yeah.
That is really good.
At least,
but do you feel defensive of men? Do you feel attacked representing men?
I just feel nervous. I feel a little bit scared for them. But
when you get the hyper, because we've talked a lot in this show about the echo chambers that the liberals live in and the transgender bathroom crowd and all that, and the anger that they will display towards anyone that disagrees with them.
Yes.
Do you feel scared of that?
Oh, I feel scared of that
100%. Don't you want to just box with it?
Oh yeah, I want to, but I feel like as
they could destroy your see
a
there's
career
this fear.
For sure.
There's this fear in Congress right now that Trump can destroy your career with a
tweet. Wait, it's not.
That's a lie, and neither can anybody who's going to come at me in that angry way. We as the people sane in the middle need to stand up to this craziness.
I agree with that. However, when I was working for HLN, a tweet could have a profound effect on my employer. Profound. And you just don't have an employer right now. If you have an employer, it's just the wrong words, and if they persist, you're in big shit trouble.
Yeah.
And they will not stop until you are fired.
So
look
are
at Brian Williams.
I know.
From the Beach Boys?
No, Brian.
Oh, Brian Williams at the New Geraldo.
He exaggerated that he was in Iraq at a certain time or something.
Geraldo did too, and he was like in Cleveland. He was outside of Cleveland, and he had people shooting guns behind him, and the camera turned. Remember?
You're kidding?
No, there's some videos. Geraldo was insane, opening up coffins that had nobody in them out in Milwaukee or whatever. That guy's out of his fucking mind, bro.
But
he's
shouldn't
the most successful
we all stand up?
Ever.
Shouldn't we all stand up against the tyranny?
We
who's supposed to stand up? All of the people in the middle,
right?
Republicans and Democrats. All the people in the middle need to stand up to these nutcases coming from the right and left.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say quite. We'll see what Facebook says to you.
got kicked off of Facebook this week.
Jesus, you did too. You are bad luck. I'm moving a little closer to Drew. God, bro.
Yeah.
You can start to feel how he's going under.
See, now you guys are on my side, but you're leaving me to drown.
Yeah. Well, see, Bob has this.
Welcome to L.A., Bob.
But that's true.
That's
true.
People are on your side, and they're leaving you to drown.
Bob has this antisocial
That's what I mean by the boxing.
I know. You can't box with it.
I can just talk about addiction all the time, be happy and little fairy tale pictures, but I just got to box with the fucking demons that are fighting in this country to destroy us.
Yeah.
Well, it's all the narcissistic turn, right? All that is.
Just my dad was what's called a blue collar Democrat. What was your dad? A Democrat?
I don't know. I think he's a Whig Party, I think. What was it? I don't even know. Well,
did he like Huey Long?
Dude.
An old wig.
You know what my dad was? He was good friends with Harry Connick's dad, though. I do remember that.
Oh,
yeah,
they were really close. Oh, that's some Harry drinking. Connick. That's drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's some. Now I got. All you had to say was that. I got a whole
that
picture.
That was drinking.
That's a snapshot.
Yeah, he was just. I don't even know what he was. What did we do? What, these days, who would he have supported?
Wasn't Harry Connick's. He was a mayor or governor or something, Harry Connick's dad?
Yeah. Was he was I want to say he was a mayor.
Mayor, yeah.
Maybe mayor of New Orleans.
Yeah, I think mayor of New Orleans because they used to trot out the son to play the piano and stuff. Ooh, yeah. Look at
what
the
a neat
son.
Life that guy's had, though, huh?
Yeah.
Well, some of it didn't go so well.
What happened?
Oh.
Yeah, what happened?
Oh, Harry Connick Jr.'s had some. He knows how to party.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Little and Harry he's Carey, untouchable. Huh? He's a weird. You know what? He's in a strange category because he is like a George Clooney type. I think of like there's celebrities that are untouchable. Mm-hmm. No matter what they fucking do. They're just everyone's gonna like him, anyways.
Right. What,
you know what I mean?
Was he okay?
He was just drunk and he was a partying kid and got in a lot of trouble. Oh, and so he got out of trouble all the time because his dad was the mayor. His dad was
That's Louisiana right there. That's old white money right there. One thing I don't like is that like poor white people get classed in with like this white power thing. Well, like that's this white.
We saw a guy talk about
and
that.
It's not the same.
We saw a comedian do that. Who was the comedian? Do you remember did it last night? He did a whole thing on white. Oh, Bill Burr. I think it was. He did a whole thing on white privilege, and he went, "No,
yeah.
Maybe those aren't the guys you're thinking of. Those guys. There's a ton of other white guys that ain't so privileged."
Yeah, I had no. I felt like I had no privilege. I felt even embarrassed to be white and have nothing. You know. And to not have like a family, even you're like, well, this is like you felt like you had nothing, you know. And then your only friends are really other poor people, so it didn't matter if they were black or white, you know. We didn't have anybody else. They rumored to have an Asian nearby, but he never showed up.
Hey, but you're onto something. Maybe there's a way for people that identify with class to kind of come together. That's a way of unifying people, right?
I really think that needs to be the thing.
That's how all other societies do it, except for America.
Yeah, we messed up somehow, or we're being tricked. Somebody's being tricked. I don't know who it is sometimes.
What do you mean?
Sometimes I think that the poor people are being just, they keep giving into this racial stuff. And it's not about that. I feel like it's eventually
it's a class
about
thing.
Class. Yeah.
That's what I've felt for a long time. I don't know what to do about it, but
it's interesting to hear you say that. Yeah. I mean, it actually makes me feel a little bit better to know that other people have some of these feelings. Like I just feel like I'm stuck in my feelings and afraid to say them because I'll never work.
Afraid to say them is the most bizarre thing of the moment, which is we live in America and we are afraid to talk.
I'll give you this.
Do you know what this? What's one of the schools here is a guy is like a Cal State or something is suing the school because they gave him a sort of a safe zone to speak on the entire campus. The safe zone is the size of that stair right there. Yeah. It's like, what? I thought we need a safe zone to speak our mind in America.
I know.
Think about that.
Well, but
it's
crazy.
That's bizarre.
It's like, you telling me that my story, my life didn't exist, or that the lives of millions of, like this reality? That's where I feel like there's a big disconnect, and that's why I feel like there was a lot of people that were shocked by like the Trump voters. Just a lot of people that feel totally, they want to cannibalize the system. I'd have voted for a cranberry muffin. An angry orange. And you got one.
Yeah.
But people just feel unrepresented.
But what both parties have done an excellent job at is dividing. And whenever I hear them talking about serving their base, when Democrats are talking about serving their base, they're talking about poor people.
Yeah.
When Republicans about serving their base, they're talking about poor people. They're talking about people that make $35,000 a year or less.
But it seems
and
like
that, it's so condescending to say our base, our stupid base. They might as well put the word stupid in front of
hang
it
on,
what they mean.
Let me ask Theo.
It's serving their base.
Did you feel like one part or another had something to offer you? Because it feels to me, and I don't have a strong opinion about this, but that the left wants to keep people poor but will take care of you, and the right wants people to be free to find their way out if they possibly can, but a little bit brutal. You know what I mean? Like, fight it out and get out of there. But some are not going to make it. Is that how you saw it when you were there?
Yeah, that's how I saw it. I felt like, you know, that the left is tricking poor people
to stay that way.
To stay that way.
Yeah.
That's weird.
What Corolla says, too.
Yeah.
Corolla says the same thing.
Well, but the fact is that the economic system is that.
No,
people are going to be poor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all there is to it. You can't. Capitalism has a huge base of fucking poor.
But Bob, the question
that's
is,
it.
Bob,
listen to a poor guy. Dude,
will you press the thing on Bob's neck? Do you have that for Bob?
I'm sorry.
Jesus, Bob.
It's true.
You so gotta grow
it's
up.
It's called
man.
Capitalism.
Bro, you gotta grow up. You're running out of time.
So, Theo, as someone there, what would you have preferred? What would your preferred sort of governmental sort of system be? Would it be something that really gives you lots of services, or something that gives you lots of sort of potential opportunity, even though you might not find your way out?
You know, it's interesting, man. I mean, a couple of things, just having even been around you has been interesting to hear. I remember you said that first I'll answer your question. So the
I want to know what I said.
I know. I will. I'll get okay, to right. it. I know you do. Oh, our egos are just
No, it scares me.
I know it's
me.
Not
I always,
you,
I
but it's greedy.
Scared.
No, it was great. It was something. It was really cool. So I grew up like they had a lot of black people in our neighborhood that collected welfare, yeah. right? And they had some white people too. But then they also had like people that would keep a kid at their house. They would keep them from going to school to be retarded so they could
Whoa.
Get money.
Wow.
And it was called the dummy check. You know, so you got a lot of families, and it was more predominant in my area amongst black households. Huh. I'm not saying that white people didn't do it, and those were the only two cultures we had around us. So, but they'd have kids. I had friends that had brothers that were maybe on paper retarded, but Ooh. They weren't really. They had just never been to school because the family gets $1,700 a month or whatever if you got a kid in the house that's retarded or dummy check. So you have every other family, not every other, but you had a lot of families getting these with this kid with the dummy check. Mm-hmm. So then that kind of stuff. And so my mother had to work, right? I mean, my father wasn't around, so we had four kids. I didn't get to have my mother because she worked. She chose to work. So then I hold a lot of anger, I guess, just against the dichotomy. Like part of it is anger that I didn't get to have a connection with my mom because she worked to provide for us when she could have just collected welfare and probably would have been the same amount of provisions.
But then you might have had to be a dummy.
But then I might have had to be a dummy,
yeah.
You know, but then I might not have had any desire to get out of the environment because I wouldn't have seen a positive influence.
Yeah.
So I feel like as a human being, so then it's hard for people, say it's like, it's hard for like you to sit in my household and want those people to have free health care,
yeah.
You know, people that are collecting off the government. And it wasn't just black people. It was black people, white people, but just dumb people, people that chose to stay dumb, you know. Because you can be ignorant, and that's unfortunate. But once you're ignorant and once you know and then you choose to still stay ignorant, then you're being stupid or you're being dumb. So we had a lot of those people, and it's tough to be like, well, they deserve – when they're not doing anything to contribute to society. So I wish that the government would help. I want the government to help out, but also how do we inspire, how do we get ourselves out of the doldrums yeah. of some of these, the most ignorant?
Part of it is lately, I was just thinking as you were talking, that a lot of the last 20 years about anybody that has something is to be envied and destroyed rather than admired and try to emulate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's part of the Hollywood cycle too.
But underlying the current underlying that, and I think a lot of the Trump vote is that also has yeah. that component to yeah. it, is it's just totally slanted and tilted cheat.
To cheat?
Yes. Wall Street cheats, Drew. Banks cheat.
Exactly
the
how.
The system is geared to them. So it's not geared to the working class of America.
What do you mean they cheat? What does that mean?
Everything is slanted towards Wall Street.
What does that
Street. Mean? Meaning,
what does it
yes,
mean, Bob?
Wall Street is a Ponzi scheme. It's gambling.
What?
Right? That's all it is.
Wait a minute. So if I raise capital to build a company, to create jobs, to create a product that enhances
where
life.
Where are the jobs and where are the companies? Because it's been going on for four presidencies, 16 years of growth. Where are the jobs? Where are the jobs other than the service industry, $7 or $8 or $9 an hour job? It's a lie that Wall Street creates jobs.
Okay.
It's a lie.
Well, then who creates jobs?
People who start small businesses.
Okay, well, that's where does the capital come from to start those businesses?
It comes from a lot. At this point, you can't get a bank loan. You can't.
So where Italian. Does the capital
you borrow it from Italians. Family? You borrow it from friends?
Are you fucking? You're losing your mind.
I have a small business.
I understand, but the business is
you borrow $300,000 and you start a business and you owe the money.
You're going to have to go to a bank or Wall Street to raise capital eventually. That's where the capital is. That invest in business.
You're running
it
out
just
of options,
is, Bob.
No, it's not true. That's not where people go to get money. They go to equity funds. They go to personal loans.
Where do the equity funds
they
come
don't
from?
From the cheated game. Mm. That's the truth of it. That's how most people in America think. They think that the rich have rigged the game. Is that not true?
I mean, I heard a comedian. I mean, yes, for sure. I mean, once you're rich, it seems like easier to stay rich unless you're
Well, same thing with poor. Once you're poor, it's harder not to be poor.
Right.
It's very hard to get out.
If everything is...
Because every time a parking ticket or a fine
set
or...
You back.
You set
but
you
back. One mistake.
Can I say, if basing an economy on Wall Street's growth, on the stock market's growth, is good for the economy, how come our economy has become a service industry economy over a producing economy?
Because of robots.
Time
bro.
When we just look at Wall Street, it's the same as looking at movies.
This is not for this show. We'll talk about it.
It's really, but what are the, where is the anger coming from?
If you want, Bob, we'll bring somebody in here that can address all that. We can tell you how it works and why.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I'm trying not to masturbate right now. that's like my big thing.
Are you a sex addict?
I don't think I'm a sex addict, but I just got into masturbation real early, you know. And so,
well, it also it's
I don't want to do it anymore.
It's covering his affect,
yes.
So he has to get in touch with his feelings. He has to see what comes.
Oh, it's impossible.
What, dude. What comes?
What did I say that you were going to quote him?
Well, that's one thing. You said that, like, you told me that if I quitted masturbation and watching pornography, that a lot of things would change that I didn't even kind of realize.
Yeah.
And so I had done it for like maybe almost 2 months, and I started to really feel that way, you know. And so that was pretty cool. Another thing you said was that just like men are killing themselves at all. Like suicide rate was at an all-time high.
Yeah, white men.
White men.
Certain age group. And so that just got me thinking, like, well, why are men killing themselves? Like, what's going on, you know?
They feel hopeless.
Yeah.
And why do they feel hopeless?
There's no jobs. There's no one in their corner. No one advocating for them.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I feel, too, and it's sad, man.
Yeah, and so if you're a white male, you're sort of, and if you aren't... haven't succeeded the way you want it to, you're sort of cast off.
Yeah, and even if you have, it's like the only group that like mainstream media can make fun of anymore, I feel like, is white males. They've kind of cornered themselves in a lot of ways, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't make fun of anybody else, that's wrong, but you can make fun of ignorant white males and white males in general. I feel
they
like
they are pretty fun to make fun of though.
Oh, I agree. But as long as we make fun of everybody, then it's okay.
Well, go to Louis C.K.'s show. You can make fun of everybody.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, how Louis C.K. can, but a younger person tries it or does something, and they're not grandfathered in yet, or they're not making enough money
for
the industry.
Yeah, why does Louis get away with it like nobody else on the planet?
Hold on.
He gets away with things that no one else in America could say.
I will address that after the break. And, of course, we want to thank our friends at Hydralyte. I love this product. It's an effervescent tablet and some powders. It goes into your water bottle. It's rapid, effective recovery from dehydration. Of course, that requires a proper balance of sodium, glucose, water. It's crucial if you're sick, been vomiting, or even experiencing heavy perspiration from heavy exercise. Water alone does not do it. Sports drinks are far less effective than this well-balanced rehydration solution. Simply, Hydralyte's formulation is based on established, proven science. It's the best rehydration product I have seen, and it comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade. It's available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder. My personal preference is the effervescent tablets you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolyte and 75% less sugar. They're appropriate for all ages. Each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydralyte at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. And for more information, visit Hydralyte.com. That is Hydralyte, H-Y-D-R-A-L-Y-T-E, Hydralyte.com. We're back. So what about Louis C.K.? How does he pull it off?
I don't know. I watched him 3 weeks ago. It was jaw-dropping, shocking. If any other American said what he said, they'd be brutally crucified.
And one thing he does, he goes, well, maybe that whole thing.
Well, no, the new stuff is even more crazy.
I heard, yeah.
Like a leaner, shorter-haired Trump kind of.
So why?
Is he a lefty Trump?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that what he appeals to?
But I remember Trump, people that were supportive of him in L.A. were like meeting in basements to even whisper about it during the election, you know?
Yeah, it's like the French underground.
It was crazy. Yeah.
It still is that way. Those people can't talk about it.
You said something about a young person talking like Louis, you couldn't get away with it. Can you not get away with it?
I don't think you can get away with it. I think once you're – well, it's weird. Once you're kind of in the industry and you're making enough money for people, then it seems like the bloggers don't attack those people. Or it's like there's just kind of this insider trading that goes on. But I think that's with any business, you know? You know, I think it's once you're a big enough cog in the wheel, you can kind of do what you want. But I do feel like guys like
I think he's got a bigger target. I think for some reason he's been sort of
somehow he gets away with it. A woman was, I don't think she was offended, but she got up and left right in front row. And he goes, "Yeah, get the fuck out of here then if you don't like what I'm."
Yeah.
And like anyone else saying that to a woman getting up and leaving, an Asian woman, I'm just saying, it would be crucified the next day.
Yeah.
You know, everybody just laughed and there was nothing on social media about it. It was weird. So that gives me hope. That's the idea. I'm looking for hope. Ugh. There is hope in the Louis C.K. I can't wait to see Chris's new show,
yeah.
Chris Rock, what he does, because he has a voice that he can say things for the black community that no one else can.
I saw a piece of it.
Yeah.
I saw him testing it.
You did?
Yeah.
Where did you see him?
In the back room, you know, the little room at the improv in Hollywood.
Was it political? Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what he said. He said something about Trump that I thought was not negative. He goes, you cannot overcharge the criminal. He goes, the world has overcharged him. He goes, he didn't say he wanted to hit somebody in the, whatever he said, to touch somebody in the pussy. He said, I'm just by being on television, they'll even let me do something crazy like that.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it is just being on TV. And he went on a whole thing about
that's what he's commenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he didn't say go do that. He didn't say anything negative. He goes, what's up with women that they would allow me to do something? Let me think of the craziest thing.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
And still, because I'm on TV, they'll let me do it. That's, and then Billy
Bush. It really is what he said, kind of, huh?
He's like, 100%
what he said. Yeah. He's like, because they'll let you. You're a celebrity.
Yeah. And Billy Bush goes, oh, yeah, I know. They'll let you. Blah, blah, blah.
And Billy Bush is not important anymore.
Well, again.
And the other guy is president of the United States.
But what about Hollywood's role in that, dude? I blame some of Hollywood because Hollywood, like, shoved shitty reality television, right? And look, I've been a part of it. You know, I'm not saying that I haven't been associated with it.
Well, we don't know what you're talking about.
Right. And I'm not saying that there's not positives to it, right? I'm trying to let Drew off the hook.
Shit talk about reality television without being negative about us.
But they pumped this into America for 30 years.
Do you know why?
But made billions of dollars and then are dumbfounded when America
responds to it.
Yeah. Like, what do you expect? And why is there no liability from the Hollywood producers who produced this junk for 30 years?
Where'd it come
from?
Why?
The writer's strike. That's where it started. In the 1980s, writer's strike, it was Cops was the first reality television
show. I love Cops, dude.
And then it exploded on the scene. And what was the great thing about Cops? There's no writers. There's no script. But there's no nothing. You have to pay nothing. You own that fucking show.
That boss. What
right?
You want? Good. My family used to watch that.
None of your family was ever on it, were they?
No, not on it, dude. We used to watch it then. Little House on the Prairie, that's one of my favorites. What else?
But there was no, and the profit was so big from Cops that everybody started saying, how do we do that? How do we cut writers out? How do we cut actors out? How do we make that kind of net profit on a show?
Yeah.
And that's what drove reality television.
But there was even Loveline, stuff like that, there was a lot of conversation back then about how do we make something real? How do we do real, real? The word real was flying around a lot in the early 90s, even though reality wasn't even on our tongue yet. And so there was sort of a push towards, and you got to think, why do people watch dramas at all? Why do humans watch dramas? Humans watch dramas because it's crazy people acting crazy. That's what drama is. Any drama, whether it's Shakespeare or you name it, it's crazy people acting out their craziness in relationships. Okay. Where can you watch that most vividly now that we have all this technology? You got to remember, the other thing was technology was shifting too. It required a movie studio to record something. Now the movie studio is in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And now the further evolution is now to social media and Facebook and all that stuff. And so it's continuing to evolve. I read an article in New York Times this morning that the millennials are pushing back a little bit. The ones just behind the millennials are wanting to be more traditional in their attitudes, and maleness is being sort of re-explored. You know,
something. God.
Yeah. So you maybe want to talk to like the 16-year-olds,
8-year-olds.
The 8-year-olds.
Come here, guys.
Do you get teenagers in your podcast? Yeah.
No, I have like my age group is 96% 28 to 34-year-old males.
Those are the ones that die the most from drug overdoses. You could have a public service announcement every podcast and say, don't die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one rule, don't die. That's my number one rule.
Well, I just have a lot of people addicted. Well, yeah. Well, you seem like you're pushing boundaries, dude. You might be stepping outside of your safe circle.
Come on now.
Yeah. No, well, who knows? I'm being hard on you. I'm sorry, Bob.
But no, but with fentanyl that's around, kids are dying like crazy.
Yeah.
And they need to be reminded, because you need to remind Elvis and every kid of
Go look at the NIDA research and prepare. We're going to give a lecture to Chris Christie in a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And hopefully go to the White House. I've deleted my entire Facebook post. I'm sanitizing it up.
You got a shot to go to the White House?
Yeah, I got a shot.
Awesome,
well, on his coattails.
Hey, that's okay, man. Dude, that's all right.
And I was reviewing some stuff, and even that stuff, even the fentanyl stuff, you see benzos in there.
Mm. Yeah. So people take benzos back home where you're from?
Oh, I lost one of my best friends. I used to work on a farm for a couple years, and I lost one of my best friends. Took a bunch of those and choked to death on a chicken bone. He had a chicken bone stuck in his throat. He was eating chicken.
It's hard to die on benzodiazepines, but you can't aspirate. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, he managed to figure it out.
You're
he's
just
real.
Too relaxed to even get anxious.
Yeah, I think he just tried to
well,
swallow
no,
some
you
chicken.
Try to swallow. You're like, ugh, and you can't quite do it.
He probably set some chicken in his mouth and it
Drew just reenacted a drug overdose. That's good.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was a good one.
Oh yeah, man. He does some great. He does some great death reenactions.
But is that probably what happened to Cass Elliot?
100%.
Is that the lady that ate that sandwich?
Yeah.
There was a sandwich at her bedside when she died of a drug overdose. And so it became by Yamaguchi again. Well, maybe she choked on her sandwich. That was his thing.
God, you hate Yamaguchi, really, huh?
Wasn't that his name? Was that his name?
Yeah, Noguchi.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, he was corner for everybody, right?
But yes, but so clueless about drug addiction, it's unbelievable.
Clueless corner, I love this. Yeah. Clueless corner.
That's gonna be a reality show.
That sounds like a new idea.
That's probably why I took off so much of that George Michael thing when they were going, this is just natural causes, cardiomyopathy, so cardiac death, and fatty liver, natural causes. Well, I had to get straightened out about that. It turns out in the pathology world, you either have accident, drug, or natural. Even when it's a disease, it's still called a natural. Because I was like, natural causes? He died of things he should never have had.
What, the disease played out to its natural course, which is death.
Right. It didn't. No. It was not under the immediate influence. It's a bizarre legal category. There wasn't immediately related to drugs and alcohol. It wasn't immediately related to an accident. That's it. Those are the three categories.
Right. It could have been long term.
Well, the newest thing, though, and I posted this, mothers in Orange County are now starting, because you can't say someone died of drugs in an obituary. It's not a technical cause of death, right, Drew? Heroin addiction is not a cause of death.
Not addiction. You have to say drug overdose.
So mothers are now insisting that the Orange County Register post the obituary as my daughter died of heroin addiction. And the first one was up, and that's the one I posted. More mothers are doing it because they want to bring awareness, because the media won't cover it. If her daughter, I kind of twittered back and forth, not twittered, but in some messages. If her daughter died of E. coli bacteria from a Jack-in-the-Box taco, you would have heard about it.
Right,
but her daughter
right.
didn't die of a Jack-in-the-Box taco, died of benzodiazepine and heroin.
Right.
And
take
we're just talking about death. That's
sorry.
All.
Well, look,
But you know what I'm saying? And in Louisiana, it must be huge. You must have a lot of friends that passed away, not just the one friend.
Well, I think it's gotten worse against the younger generation. But I wonder, like, do you think you two gentlemen, do you think you guys would be able to be the same men if you grew up in today's generation, like, and now?
No.
Like, what would be different about
that? I've tried to. I've thought about that.
I know it's a big question,
but I thought about it because I've thought about my own kids. You know, what are the influence they had or differently? And I thought about it this morning, strangely, when I read that New York Times article. I don't have a good answer for you.
I've got a little bit
because,
of one.
Because
the social component of society.
We were under weird influence. The parenting and the personality styles of the parents in the 50s and 60s, very strange. I look at history and I try to figure out where have we seen that before? I can't find it.
Because the parenting's huge. That thing is, it's not just the kids are growing up. It's like there's that parenting.
There was a weird, they were strangely, I don't know how to describe it. It was a kind of a narcissism, but it was a narcissism that had some tenderness attached to it.
Right.
And you know what it was? It was a kind of narcissism that idealizes and de-idealizes. So their kids were all idealized. Their family was idealized. But the reality was sort of not so good.
Mm.
So they were living sort of a false front. Mm. And there was a lot of talk in your adolescent years about phoniness?
Yeah.
Remember that used to bother us? And I think that's why. Phony was the thing. So we wanted to be more real.
Real.
Now I think we may have gone a little too far, a little too far with our rawness, right?
Yeah.
And so our kids are going to react to that.
Or even the real or the realness isn't. It's so. It's also become so. There's been enough realness now where they've been able to like kind of matriculate or figure out what works best to sell the realness.
Oh yeah.
So now they've like the realness is so produced that I almost feel like it's got to get really real again.
Well, that may be, or just head on over into scripted.
Oh, dude, it could be over soon, bro. This could be the end. No. What was your answer, Bob? I didn't mean to step on you. I just wanted to get so I could hear because I'm really curious.
That the parenting is a part of what I call the social component. Yeah. And the social component in our society is very, very ill right now. It's very sick. And so this parenting idea. So I have a wild kid. Elvis, his name is. He's six. He
it's
just
your boy?
Go, go, goes. Yeah. He goes. And I let him go, go, go. And I can't tell you how many times, because my parents let me go, go, go.
He doesn't like you anymore, Bob. You remind him of his dad.
No, but listen to this. Listen to this. Yeah. He, so many times, he always knows where we are. He always comes back.
He comes back.
Right?
Dude, he's not a whammer.
But how many times a concerned mother and or sometimes guy walking around some supermarket is like, is, you know, and Elvis knows that they're kind of nervous for him, so he kind of fucks with them. That's, like, wow. Do you know where your parents are? And he's like, no. and they come and they're so angry, and I go, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, that's my dad.
Oh my God.
The parents are so outraged.
We had that.
That I've let my child around in Target.
Sounds like a deleted scene from I Am Sam. Remember that movie? Yes. And I don't even know who's playing what character. That's the crazy
part. I'm Sean Penn always.
Okay, beautiful.
But we had that too. I was big on getting our kids swimming, and so I let them kind of
struggle.
And people would yank them out and go, do you know you can I was like, no, I got him, a lifeguard. Dude, I got him.
My mom was so busy smoking a cigarette with the plastic filter, drinking a vodka and orange juice in an I Magnan gown that she could care less if we were drowning.
But
or
isn't
lost.
That yeah. let me wrap it up with that though. But that to me, what he's describing is exactly what I was talking about. She had a certain kind of gown.
Right.
Cigarette thing. It's all about me behaving and living a certain image.
But she loved me. She did.
But this phone is falseness. It had a weird quality to it that consumerism and the movies, and they all wanted to be like
the
movie
stars.
Oh,
the movies were big.
Yeah, it had movies. A deep influence. Different than what we're seeing now.
Right.
Different.
You got the feeling my mom was enacting a movie scene by the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
You really did.
Phony.
How are you? Oh, my God. Come over here.
Yeah, come over here. Bob just drowned.
Oh, my child. He'll be all right. Yeah.
If you can. All right, we got to wrap this thing up. How are you now? Are you good?
I'm good, man. Everything's good.
You
know,
seem good.
I stay focused. Yeah, I stay pretty happy. I'm at a tough I'm kind of like trying to decide. You know, I'm just trying to grow up. You know, so it's really tough sometimes because, you know, you're daily faced with opportunities where you can be like a man and move forward. And then in LA, especially where you can still be a child, you can still be a child here forever. You know? So, you know, yeah, I'm trying to grow up, man, but I'm working on it. You know, I'm doing my step work. Good. You know, I'm in that program and I am, I'm excited about it.
It's good. It has,
awesome.
It bears fruit, man.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And that's the coolest thing, you know. And I want other people that are struggling to just realize that they don't have to struggle, you know. And that's one of the things that you kind of inspire me, you know. Like, it's just, you just have a good way of just letting people feel like, I know you like to help people, you know. And yeah, I just think, you know, hopefully one day I'll be able to help people.
File something. You will. That'll be part of your recovery.
Yeah.
But file something away, too. We've talked a lot about something we kind of call full recovery. Mm-hmm. There's the first part of the recovery, and then there's the later explorations. There's other stuff that needs a little professional, you know, sort of help if you're really into this. And I can talk to you about it later.
Yeah. No, I am into it, man. I'm curious. Yeah. I'll love to come back sometime. Right. We'll discuss it more.
It's
and
fun.
You, dude, I'm going to pray for you.
Pray for
put
me.
Put you on my prayer list.
Pray.
No, it's a short list, dude. And I'm not
going
to put anybody on there, yeah. And it's a pleasure, dude. I'm excited. And I'm gonna buy one of your vinyls, man.
Oh, all right. Yeah. What any last love bit of stuff you want to promote or anything?
We just have it's called This Past Weekend. You can check it out. I just had an album that was number one on iTunes comedy charts called 30-pound bag of hamster bones because they busted a man in my town with 30 pounds of hamster bones on him.
Did I see a Netflix special with you on it too?
And they got him. Yeah, and I got a Netflix special out there, and it's just called No Offense.
What was he doing with them?
What was he doing with them, Bob?
Sticking them up himself?
No, dude. He's probably making jewelry, I bet.
know, his
Jesus
yeah, I know.
Christ, wow. Dude.
Well, the Richard Gere thing. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. Hamster bones only, brother.
The
what do you think? He's probably making jewelry. What do you do with quartz?
I don't know. I'm just too influenced.
No offense. My daughter always opens up a statement with no offense when I know something deeply offensive is going to follow. Yeah. So I assume.
Oh, yeah. It's a satire, though. Respect the fact that it's a satire.
Got
you
it.
Know?
Got it. All right. We got to wrap this thing up. Theo Von, you have a website?
Yeah, just TheoVon.com. And yeah, man, I'm just happy to be here.
Can great. I hand thank over you. The woman that's shutting me down on Facebook? Can you please, whoever hates me on Facebook, just follow me?
I was going to send him your way.
We're going to wrap this thing up. We'll see you guys. We'll see you
good
next
luck.
Time.
Good luck, Bob. Right, good luck, Bob.
Yeah. I've never really been to the moon, but it's nice out this time.